Accession number 20817, Reel 1.
Percy Price, Reel 1. Where were you born, please?
Tooting, London, 1919.
Did both your parents come from Tooting?
No, my parents, one lived in Streatham, and the other one, my mother lived in Streatham, and my father lived in Wales. But they were married, and they both moved. We all moved back to Mitcham then.
Which part of Wales did your father come from?
At Chalgarth, Breconshire. Yeah, near the Black Mountains.
Did you grow up and have your schooling in Tooting?
In Mitcham.
Which school did you go to there?
I went to a school, our local school, Western Road, Tooting, Mitcham. And before that, I went to a Catholic school and then moved to this other school. But I left the school when I was 14. And then at the age, well, I'd done little jobs around, like I went on the post office as a telegraph boy. And then after that, the four of us lads got together, shall we join the Navy? And the father of one of them was a chief PO on the Barham, HS Barham. And I think we got a little bit of a lift up off him to get us in. But when we got there, and when we did eventually got moving, there was only two of us managed to get through. So after that, I was sent to HMS Ganges. And I was there in 1935 to beginning of 1936, on which time I went on the Hood, HMS Hood. And after went to the Mediterranean for 2 years.
Could I just stop you there, please? Can I take you back to your time at Ganges? Can you describe what it was like, please?
Time at the Ganges, at the time when I walked through the gate, and after the first week, I cried. I really cried because it was just like a prison to me.
How old were you?
15. 15 years of age, and but while you were there, they really went to town with you, because there was a mast there, terrific height, and we used to go over there every morning, 3 minutes, we had to do it in 3 minutes. If we didn't, we got a whack round the bottom, and it was in summer and winter, we had to go over the snow and ice, and it was really, they really went to town with us, you know, the instructors there, but they really made a man of you, you know, they done it, well, if you wasn't up to standard, they push you out, but while I was there, there was a lot of chaps to try to get away from there, but they always caught them when they got to Ipswich, but you know, the sailing and the we went sailing and we went in boat pulling and we had the gunnery there, and I finished up in the end of 1935, and then on to the Hood. But to me, it was really they really went to town with you. You know, they really. If you didn't say anything wrong, they'd give you a whack.
Did you learn very much there?
Oh, yes, I learned quite a lot. I, you know, before I went in there, the education I had wasn't very good, so I managed to pick quite a bit up there. And it helped me a lot when I got in, when I was got in the Navy, in the big ships, and, you know, it helped me with my jobs I'd done on board.
How did you feel about being drafted to Hood?
Well, I didn't know at the time, but when I got aboard, I said, God, this is just like a big liner to me, because she was 42,000 tonne. It's quite a large ship, but the only snag with her was she never had any portholes, and the air aboard there pumping in wasn't very good, not like the thing now. You had so much thinking people going to a hospital with their chests on her. Practically every week you had people going because of the chest problems. But I managed it out. I'd done the 2 years aboard there, and I liked it. It was very, very good to me. I met quite a nice lot of people aboard.
What job were you given in the ship?
I was, as a matter of fact, I was on one of the 15-inch turrets. I was on the quarterdeck, and I was the communication chamber. I was in there with headphones and in communication with the chief people in charge of the guns. And used to, the communication used to come from the bridge or the spotting top, sent to us where to train and what our elevation and what we should have put on the guns through me. And I was like a liaison with the big noises in the spotting top and the bridge, the skipper and all the rest of it. But to me, these guns, they were 15-inch, I say, they used to fire 23 mile. The ton shell used to go 23 miles. And I enjoyed it, bought it on the quarterdeck, but they used to have a lot of accidents. So when the guns were training, sometimes if anybody got in, trying to get in the turret, there used to be air chambers on the outside, and they used to cut them in half or something like that, because of they had nobody to the people they didn't know they were going to jump get in the turret. But when we got in, we used to go down below and then cut through the various chambers to the turret itself and come out inside the turret instead of going from the outside. But we had a lot of aboard her we done quite a good job. We were during the Spanish War, and we were taking refugees from Barcelona and Valencia and Palma to Marseille. And in that time, we used to patrol the straits, because they used to have gun runners from Tangiers, Algiers, for the forces in Spain, the Tito's men. There was a lot of out there with us. There was quite a lot of German ships out there with us, the Graf Spee, Admiral Scheer, and all that. Like, I've got photos of them there, of them. When we used to go with them when we got to Tangiers. It was an international port. We used to play the Graf Spee football and various things. And we communicated together. But one of the bad ones out there, one of the German battleships got bombed by Tito's blokes, and got a lot of people killed aboard there. So they went round and bombarded the shore, where they were, where they're coming from, and killed quite a few. But I've got photos, pictures of the funerals where we buried them in Gibraltar, the Russian German sailors.
Was this a happy ship for you?
Oh, very, very happy. We all got very, very happy indeed. We play football and go and when we were going ashore in Malta, used to go ashore. We always all get together there, and you know, I was a boy aboard there, and I left there as an able seaman. And you know, as you go along, you get more communication with your people aboard. It's a smashing. It's a lovely. Before the war, it used to be you used to work together. And well, it laid off a bit earlier in the war, but we got, you know, once we got organised, it was okay.
So, when you met the German Navy, were there any ill feelings between?
No. Used to go to shore to the various places in Tangiers, and used to hello and all of that. And I'll say we played them at football, and they played us. It was like people in the trenches when they say Christmas time, they played each other football. The Germans went out and played football with ours. Well, it only lasted a little while, but out there it was all the time. You know, when you met, hello, and all that. And hell of a dodgy and all this. But I say it was, we were friends, friendly. Right.
And when you were talking about the possibility of accidents in the turrets, did this worry you?
No, not entirely, because we saw a lot of accidents aboard the Hood. We were pulling away from the jetty in Gibraltar, and one of the wires, we had a big 3-inch wire connected to the shore. And the weight of the Hood went on the wire when we were starting to turn. And the wire was backed up by Royal Marines, about three matlows at the other end, the three sailors up the other end, on the wire itself, quite a few Royal Marines. And the wire snapped, and it cut, well, it really went to town with the poor Royal Marines. There's quite a few of them killed, really. The wire shredded up and really cut them in half, practically.
Where was this?
In Gibraltar. I think there was quite a big how-to-do about it, because we were just leaving the jetty, and they never, the weight of the Hood went on it. The wind took us. Another time we went over to Bilbao. That was another thing, for the blockade of the stuff going into Bilbao. This ship was a runner, because he had potatoes aboard. They called him Potato Jones, and we had to go around there to let him in, get him in there, and there was a. After about three Spanish warships alongside coming up to us, and the turrets just trained their guns on the way they went. They shoot off quick. The 2 years out there, we had quite a few. Well, we were out there, the old Duke of Windsor, we saw him with his girlfriend. And it was in one of our little cruises we were on. Yes, it was a nice 2 years. I enjoyed it.
So you were in the Hood from
35 to 37? Yeah,
36 to 38. And then?
After that, I came home and went in the barracks, and I joined a new Oh, I went up gunnery school first to do some gunnery courses. And then I went on to HMS Javelin with the Lord Lewis flotilla. And then we were just doing our, you know, run through and all this, doing our thing. And then the war started, 1939. Well, it began 39. At that time, we were just off the coast of Germany. And we had to get back to Invergordon to ammunition, get load ammunition, oil and all that. And then we were doing the convoys up and down the east coast until Dunkirk.
How did you feel about the news that war had been declared?
Well, we couldn't do much about it in any case. It was the big noises. They were the ones that doing it, not us. We didn't mind if it was our job and we had to do it, like anybody else.
What was your job aboard?
I was on B gun. It was a twin 4/7. That was my job on the guns itself.
Doing what?
Doing the I was in charge of the twin 4/7. I was the captain of the gun.
And you say that the first duties of the ship were on the east coast?
On the east coast. We're doing convoys up and down the east coast from Dover right up to Scotland and back, you know, calling in Chatham for all our supplies. And there's quite a few sunk along there. But, there was quite a few subs along there, and all we used to catch them. They were laying mines off of Chatham, off of Sheerness.
Did you run into any U-boats?
Oh yes, we got a couple. I think it was a couple we got, and that was further up by Scotland itself, up in Aberdeen way.
Can you describe what happened when you ran into the U-boats, please?
Well, as a matter of fact, we used to drop the depth charge as they used to flink and come up. We sunk them. One was sunk, and we got their prisoners. Took them into where was that? Rosyth, somewhere down that area, because Scapa Flow, there is a big round by Scapa, there's quite a lot got round there, but we used to begin. Our depth charges used to really do them. Give them shocks.
Did you see any of these German prisoners?
Yes, we saw about four. I think we took in four. We managed to, after the blinking thing was sunk, we managed to get them, about four of them, took them into, Sheerness. Anyhow, along there, along the coast.
What kind of mood were these prisoners in?
They weren't in much mood because they were all wet and begraggled, just like the Dunkirk people. You know, by God, you sunk us, and that's our lot, and that's what their attitude. But some of them were all right. But thank God that they were saved.
Was your 4.7-inch guns used in any of the actions on the East Coast?
Oh yes, quite a few. A few times. Oh no, no, not only on aircraft. You used to get a lot of aircraft coming over, like Junkers 88s and Heinkel Hunger, Junkers 87s and Heinkel and 88s. They used to get, it was mostly aircraft. They used to bomb us, but that was the only action with our guns we had. What was, the most things we used to do with them. But after one of the convoys and the Russia and the Dunkirk thing, people thing started, we were laying off of Sheerness, well, just past Sheerness, and a Blenheim was in the water. And we stopped, what's happening? And the pilot, we picked the pilot up and we were just going to ram it. And the pilot said, don't ram it. He said, you'll blow the blinking ship up because we've got fused bombs aboard. So we were doing the convoys, and then after that they wanted us to do the go to the Humber. We had a base up there, and we from there the flotilla used to go out every night over to Holland and Germany and drop mines. We used to escort the mine layers over there. And I say my job sometimes was to drive the motorboat and take the skipper ashore and all that. And one night, before the ship sailed, I took the mail. I was taking the mail ashore in the Humber, and the engine broke down. So I managed to paddle ashore. Well, the tide took me right up to the shore. And then I waved the ship as she went out on one of the beacon that night. And she went out, and there was her waving cheerio, lads. And there was me just had a nice little night ashore. But this
whereabouts ashore?
It's in a place called just off the coast of Humber there.
Hull.
Hull is up the other end.
Immingham?
Immingham, that's it. I made a base there. Especially for us.
You told me earlier that Javelin went to Norway. Norway campaign.
She went there again on the Norwegian campaign. That was 1939.
What do you remember about the ship taking part in the Norway campaign?
The Norway. Well, I tell you what, it was that was very dangerous as well because you were. The Germans had their Junkers 87s and based where they, soon they got there, they made a base for their aircraft. And as you used to go down the fields, and they used to come over one side, drop their bomb, and over the other side before you get on them. And we got, one of the times, we got one of them followed us. We were on our way down into to Narvik, as a matter of fact, the Bodo. And one of these aircraft come up behind us, a machine gun. We had a couple of lads killed aboard with a machine gun. After they machine gunned us on the upper deck, they were on the upper deck, out, just running down the upper deck, and away this bloke come down the machine gun us. But that was the only trouble you had. So you before you could see them, they were on top of you. You were in the middle of the blinking field, and they would come around down one side of the mount field and up the other side before you get the guns on them. But we managed. I think we managed to knock a few down, knock a few away. You know, managed to give them a scare.
Any other memories from Norway?
Norway, Not really. I say, oh yeah, the cave. We went in one of the fields, and there was only about half a dozen men left from one whole battalion. We picked them up, and the King of Norway went aboard. I think it was Glasgow, and they took all the gold aboard there. And they put it in the magazine, all the gold ingots, took it in the magazine, and we escorted them across to Scotland. Escorted them to Scotland with all this lolly aboard.
You said that the javelin played a part in Dunkirk evacuation.
Yeah.
Can you take me through that, step by step, what you remember, please?
Yes, well... We come straight off from Dover and went straight in and went up the La Panne first. We dropped our whaler and our motorboat, and we laid off. The lads took the boats ashore to load up with the soldiers. When we loaded up, they asked us to go alongside the jetty, the mole, and we went alongside the mole, and it had been bombed, and we got planks and whatever you to and laid across this thinking hole that was there, and then the soldiers and all that to come aboard over there, and then we loaded up. That was about 1,600, I think, 1,600 aboard. The gunnels were right level with the upper deck. The water was level with the gunnels and right the way up onto the upper deck, and we looked after them, gave them rum and God knows what, you know, and we made them happy, but majority of them were on the upper deck. Well, I was we had quite a few attacks by Junkers, and I was on my gun deck, and I got four sergeants come up there. Can we give you a hand, mate? I said, well, get out of the way. We're thinking there's enough people up here already with all the lads loading the guns and that. And they went down low, thought, that's all right, away. But they come aboard and left all their guns, the rifles and revolvers. And one of them was a dispatch rider. He said, yeah, we want this, mate. Well, I said, what is it? He said, oh, it's a revolver. 303, it was this revolver he gave me, and 200 rounds. I said, that's all right, thanks a lot. So I kept it, and then when we got ashore when we got back to Dover, I handed it in, because you couldn't have things like that sculling around. I've got a photo of us going alongside the mole, and I've still got it. It was printed in one of the London Illustrated papers.
How frightening was it in the Dunkirk evacuation?
Well, very, very frightening indeed, because you was in a space, you was in this area, and they come down and thinking they could drop it on you, because we had to keep on the move all the time with these, these poor. There's a lot of them that try to get out, swim out and all this stuff. And then you had to put your speed on and get round, and then you get churned up by the propellers. But it was very frightening indeed. It was. But it's not as bad as the Russian run.
Well, about how many trips do you think that Javelin did to Dunkirk?
We only done one, because we were recalled We was a brand new, you know, beginning of the war, we were brand new. It was two of us on the Jaguar. There was two of us on the on that, and they said, "Oh, you better come off. You might get blinking sunk." So we had to lay off it.